Good morning. You're listening to The Work on Wednesday, where we hear from social justice organizers in New Orleans about their upcoming actions and events that could use some feet on the ground. This week, we're going to hear from Dolphinette Martin, the lead organizer of Voice of the Experienced, which is a grassroots membership organization founded and run by formerly incarcerated persons in partnership with Allies. Among many other projects, Dolphinette is currently working on organizing the March for Currently and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls, which is set to take place in New Orleans on December 15th. You can find more information by contacting her or Voice of the Experience. Their information will be available later in the interview. I'm extremely embarrassed to admit that I accidentally erased the first minute and a half of our interview as we were speaking, but we pick up discussing the 1,900 people who were released early from prison facilities around Louisiana on November 1st, the day before we spoke. Here we go.
Yesterday, I had the privilege of being at probation and parole when three of the buses pulled up with people that were being released and was able to help in that intake process and just speak to those people and let them see that it's possible. Because again, you know, we often say that those of us that are closer to the problem are closer to the solution. So, you know, research is fine and statistics is fine, but if, you know, someone coming from prison doesn't see someone that came from prison making it, then they don't really have that hope that it can be done. And so we were there yesterday to ensure that they see that it's possible. I'm actually here at job one. There were some people released that were homeless, and we got them into a homeless shelter, and I'm waiting for them to come over to job one so that we can continue to get them some resources to just help them holistically, not just, you know, be released and say, go have a good life, but try to help them get connected to resources that would ensure that they have a better shot at staying free. Myself, formerly incarcerated African-American woman, did a combined 12 years in prison. And when I say combined, because I didn't do just one prison stay. My last stay was for 7 years, 4 months, and 28 days. And I have to say, I say that because that was my last stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I realized that, you know, when you learn better, you do better. And I've been fortunate to be surrounded by people that support me. And I have to say, formerly incarcerated people that supported me and just showed me, took my hand and just showed me a better way to live. Because I didn't know how to live. You know, I just didn't know. And so what we do as an organization is not just policy, it's not just civic engagement, it's support. It's peer support, it's you know, holding the hand of some folk that just don't understand how to walk through life. And, you know, some people don't think that is a reality, but I'm here to tell you that I myself, I didn't know how to live. I was just surviving.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day I advocate for women, specifically because that demographic of people is often forgot about when we speak of mass incarceration.
Yeah.
We often talk about black and brown young men.
Mm-hmm.
So there are black and brown women that are serving time in prison at an alarming rate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, you know, lifting that up and bringing that to the forefront so that we don't be forgotten.
Yeah.
And with that, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just, you know, that reminded me of a statistic that you had given in the talk that I saw you give a couple of weeks ago about the humongous percentage of increase of incarceration of women in recent years.
Actually, 800% increase over the last 20 years.
Wow.
That's an alarming increase. And, you know, I have to say oftentimes when women go to prison, it's a direct impact of some unresolved trauma.
Mm-hmm.
More often than none, it's domestic issues, drug offenses, you know, just issues that were never dealt with as young women, young girls. Most of us have been sexually abused, physically abused, mentally abused. And so we take that and we find a comforter, and most times that comforter is either in a man or drugs. Mm-hmm. And we land in prison. And there's no help for that in prison. Prison isn't designed to deal with those issues. So what happens is that you lock us up, you know, society, we lock us up and we do our sentence and then we're released and told have a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we leave with all of those same issues that we went in with.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, there's more trauma added while we're in prison because, you know, it is real that women oftentimes are raped in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot consent to sex with anyone that's in authority over you in mm-hmm. a prison setting. We're exploited. I've seen women who have been in prison 5, 10, 15 years become pregnant miraculously.
Mm-hmm.
But never see that baby born. You know, and so who do we report that stuff to?
Yeah.
Right? Because the people that we are reported to are the people that's getting us pregnant.
Right.
So, you know, then you have women that go in that are already pregnant who have their babies in prison while shackled and handcuffed to a hospital bed.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to deliver our babies in that fashion. And the first person that a newborn opened their eyes to is the doctor and an officer, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And, you know, those type of things that are just not talked about. Because we as a society don't want to believe that that happened.
Right. Right.
But it happens more times than none. And so we're just trying to, you know, every day I task myself to just keep that lifted up and in the forefront to say that women need dignity. We need to be dignified. We need to be humanized. That's not to say that men don't. But again, I'm an African American woman that did time in a prison with women.
Mm-hmm.
So those issues are dearest to me because I've experienced those same issues, and I had no help.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that in your time, like you know, since you have become lead organizer at Vote, that your organization has started to do more work that's targeted at experiences that women have with the carceral system in Louisiana?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. And I think I'm tasked with a bigger bulk of that because again, you know. We work on policies that affect the totality,
mm-hmm.
but I can't really sit with a man and talk about issues that men face and truly understand what that looks like, right?
Yeah.
But I can sit with a woman and talk about issues and truly understand what that looks, feels, and tastes like,
mm-hmm.
right? So what we often tell, we have peer support groups, that deal with specifics. We talk about the post-incarceration syndrome, which is behaviors that we display after incarceration, and we don't even oftentimes realize we're displaying because we've become so programmed to live and move in a certain way while in prison that when we're released, it's hard to deprogram,
mm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a small example.
Yeah.
When I was first released in prison, you know, you take showers. There's no really no bathtub.
Yeah.
And so you have to have shower shoes. For the longest time, I was at home still wearing shower shoes to take a shower.
Wow.
Not even realizing that's what I was doing until my niece asked me, why are you still wearing shower shoes in the shower.
Uh-huh.
It never dawned on me that's what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine. Right? Yeah, I mean, that. Just thinking about that, I just imagine so many different things that become part of your routine, you know, and way that you
exactly.
navigate the world.
Exactly.
And intervene
exactly.
with them. Well, I want to ask you about this, I guess, rally that you're working on planning for December 15th and sort of what some of the key issues that you're trying to bring to the fore and some people who you're trying to engage with this rally.
Sure. So on December 15th, we're having a formerly and currently incarcerated Women and Girls Day March.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to start the march at the First 72 Plus, which is a transitional house for men.
Mm-hmm.
And well, the reason for starting there is to lift up that there is no transitional houses here in this city for women.
Wow.
That's the first thing. There's none. Second thing is, it's directly across the street from the parish jail. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the other key things is to lift up the process that it takes to be released from that parish jail, because the goal is to go over and bind some ladies. We're going to target a few ladies that can be binded,
mm-hmm,
and bind those ladies out. But we know because we live here in this city that sometimes it takes 2 days, even after a bond is paid, to be released.
Wow.
Why is that? Right?
Yeah.
Why is that? Some of the things we've realized, some of the things we've run across is that the culture in the jail is just that there's no urgency on releasing anybody.
Wow.
There's no urgency to that, whether you pay the bond or not. Mm. So then we've been told that, well, shift is changing, you have to wait.
Wow.
Oh, the computer is down, you have to wait. Oh, they're at lunch, you have to wait. Well, they're going to be released, and then, you know, if they hold them after 12:01 midnight, that means they get paid for another day.
Oh,
so
God.
We're seeing people released 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, women, just released from jail. Just let them out, 3 o'clock in the morning, and then they're supposed to do what?
Wow.
And the area where the jail is located is known for prostitution. So let's say a woman gets out 2, 3 in the morning, and she has no money to catch a bus or a cab or anything, and she tries to flag a ride or hitchhike a ride. She can very well be arrested for prostitution.
Just for trying to
get... When all she's actually trying to do is get a ride home.
Yeah, that's horrific.
Right? And so then we're going to march from there, and we're going to walk past the DA's office, because we need to bring awareness to the DA office how the DA here in New Orleans accepts 99% of the charges that come through. Then we're going to go on to the courthouse on the steps of the court, because that's where the first, with not just from the police, when the police bring you to jail, your first... whether you leave or stay is based on what that judge said. So we're going to stop by the court as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to move on to City Hall, because there's things locally, on the local level, that can be done to the you know, just bring some attention and awareness to these issues.
Mm-hmm.
There are things on a local level that our city council and mayor can do to say, well, listen, enough is enough.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. But with that, there's got to be people like myself, formerly incarcerated people, at the table.
Yeah.
Saying what needs to happen. Because, again, those of us that are closer to the problem are closer to the solution. And when I say closer to the problem, we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there. We understand the dynamics. And this is what we need. Reentry isn't what you want to give us. It's what we need.
Yeah.
You need to ask us what we need, not what you want to give us.
Yeah, I mean, that's really powerful. And it was really a statement of, it seems like, the way that the politics so often works is exactly the opposite. Is these people who are sitting in, you know, kind of elite positions who have no idea, you know, don't pay any attention to what you need.
They don't have a clue.
Yeah.
They don't have a clue.
Totally. I wonder, is Vote working with any other organizations in planning this rally in March for the 15th?
There are several organizations that we've invited to partner with us and support. For me, one of the main organizations I really wanted to reach out to and did and working with is Breakout.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to also understand that transgender women are women.
Yep.
Right? And they are dying at an alarming rate in this city, and nobody is talking about it.
Yeah.
It's not being talked about, right? There are people. Regardless to what their sexual preferences are, they are people. And the fact that they're transgender does not make them not a woman, if that's what they're identifying as.
Right.
So we have to respect and accept that that's what they're identifying as and raise up the issues that they face, which are they are dying at an alarming rate, and most of the time it's because of their sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
For no other reason.
Yeah.
We also have Stand With Dignity, Flix, Family and Friends of Louisiana Incarcerated Children, because it is a formerly and currently incarcerated women and girls day, because girls face a lot of issues. They don't even know how to begin to talk about what's going on with
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One, because our black girls have been told they have attitudes, that they are too womanish, they're sassy, but we never stop to try to figure out what is it that's actually going on inside of their head. You know, we don't know that they have a stepfather at home that's creeping in their room every night while mom is asleep. Or mom could still very much be awoke and just pretend tonight she don't know what's going on. Those are issues that girls face.
Mm-hmm.
But what goes on in my house stays in my house, so who am I to tell it to?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, we've also invited women with a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Sex trafficking. That goes on. You know, and I talked about, you know, a lot of times women and girls go to jail for prostitution because lots of times they become sex slaves.
Mm-hmm.
There's pimps involved. And, you know, then you put them in prison and then they get used in prison as a sex toy, and then you expect them to come home and not display that behavior. Well, that's all they know.
Yeah, I mean,
what are we doing as a society, as a city, to help with those issues? What are we doing? Other than saying, well, yeah, I think that goes on. What are we doing to help those people, those victims, actually?
Mm.
Because not only are they perpetrators, they're victims. And they were a victim before they became a perpetrator.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of, yeah, I mean, I'm just hearing a lot of sort of institutionalized silence around all of these things, you know?
Absolutely. So, yeah, we try to touch every area. When we talk about social justice, it's a societal issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a poor people issue or a black issue. It's a societal issue because if we're a part of a society that turns a blind eye to these issues and then say we want to be tough on crime, right? Well, what are we doing to help those that have become victims that end up perpetrating?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
And I told you, I was at probation and parole yesterday helping receive those people that were released.
Yeah.
And there were some that had to go to homeless shelters. So my question was, so in the morning when they have to leave the shelter, what is the plan? And nobody knew that they were going to have to leave the shelter. I'm like,
wow, none of the people who were getting out.
In the morning at 6 o'clock, they're going to ask them to leave. What is the plan? So myself and a couple of other formerly incarcerated people came up with a plan, got the sheriff to donate a bus, going to pick them up from the two shelters, bring them over here to job one where the opportunity resources are, and just try to figure out what exactly that they need and what can we provide today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I try to always explain to people, it's one day at a time. When you first get out of prison, your number one concern is, where am I going to lay my head?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't know where I'm going to sleep tonight, none of the training that you're offering me, none of the resources of therapy, none of the stuff that you're offering me is going to resonate, because my mind is all over the place trying to figure out where would I sleep tonight.
Yeah, the primary needs, absolutely. Well, Delphina Martins, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning. Hopefully many of our listeners will come out on December 15th for the march and rally for formerly and currently incarcerated women and girls.
I'm glad that they do, because this is a day where we really need to lift up these issues that women and girls are facing. And it's not just that day. It's going to be ongoing, because there's a campaign that Senator Booker and Warren, Van Jones with his Cut 50 program and organization has a campaign that they're supporting that we want to support as well, called Dignity for Incarcerated Women.
Mm-hmm.
And it, Alicia Keys has actually did a video with Cut 50 to highlight women being pregnant and delivering in shackles. There's no dignity in that. There is absolutely no dignity in having steel wrapped around your leg and your arm while you pass a baby out of your body. There's no dignity in that.
Yeah,
that's a piece of legislation we're going to try to get behind.
So which reminds me of my one other question that I had is, you know, if any of our listeners want to learn sort of more about your ongoing work and try to get involved, what's a good way to find out about what VOTE is up to?
So my email address is Dolphinette, D-O-L-F-I-N-E-T-T-E, at vote-nola.org. Or they can go on our website, www.vote-nola.org. We also have a T4 that focuses strictly on civic engagement, voter registration. It's called Know Your Vote NOLA. And just contact us. We always are looking for volunteers, for people to just come out and support what we're doing and help create an atmosphere of just support. We have internship opportunities. There's a couple of job announcements on our website. So, yeah, we got a lot going on over there.
Great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.